We're back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. You know, I had to let that one play out for a second there, Boomer.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you gotta get to the jam piece. The Black Crowes, man. Those guys, when they were in their heyday, that was something else. I told you did I tell you on the air? I think I told you the other day about when I was driving down the I-20 coming from Atlanta.
I don't know if we were on the air or not, but I think you just told me.
Yeah, it's back when the Black Crowes were in their heyday.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, mid-90s, and their big album, Shake Your Money Maker, was out. And I'm driving along in my beat-up old Jeep. I mean, just chugging down the interstate. It had a big old CJ7 with a 304 V8 in it. Oh. And it's turning down the interstate. But I'm closing in, and this thing, by the way, this Jeep was like trying to watch a bumblebee fly. It did not have any aerodynamics. You know, I'm just like chugging along. But I'm rapidly gaining on a really unusual-looking white car. I get closer, realize it's a Rolls Royce in the right lane, and it's like going 20 miles an hour below the speed limit. And I get closer to it, and I look over, and I swear there's one of the Robinson brothers, one of the lead singer from Black Crowes. He's wearing like a tank top. He's got long, stringy hair. He's like hunched over the wheel like he's having to really concentrate. Both hands are on the wheel. I'm thinking, he looks like somebody who is stoned and struggling, and he's driving 20 miles an hour, you know, and I don't know if it's him or not.
Right.
But it looked like him, and they're from Atlanta.
It very well could have been.
I mean,
he thought he was flying, probably.
You know, no telling what he thought. But anyway, so I just chugged right on by and thought, I think that was the guy for the Black Crowes. Anyway, all right, listen, we got tons of stuff on. And by the way, like Paul from Athens is already on the text line. If you want to text, Paul just texted in. Where'd he go? I just lost his new text. There it is. Oh, he's talking about the thing I just said in my about election deniers in my monologue. He says all the Democrats are hypocrites. They're deniers that are deniers of the 2016 election. And now they're saying Trump was an illegitimate president. And now here we are, you know, shoes are flipped. Anyway, Paul, you are so correct. Paul from Athens. If you want to text in, that's the cool thing we got going now. Boomer has us set up on the latest in technology. Like we needed one more piece.
Just one more piece.
One more piece of technology. I mean, you have made yourself indispensable, my brother. It's your superpower. But yeah, you can text in. You know, the phone line here is 833-68-RIGHT. 833-687-4448. But you can also text to that number. So if you want to text to that number, just text, first time you ever do it, just text the word right side. And it'll give you a quick response back. You'll be in the system. We'll be able to see your name and where you're from. So I can do like I did a moment ago and say, Paul from Athens, or Brian from Huntsville, or Jeremy from Huntsville, or Shelton from Harvest. I'm looking down the list of text messages here. Don from Cairo. I mean, we got all kinds of folks that have been texting. So, yeah, there it is, 833-687-4448, 833-68-RIGHT. Ton of stuff, too, on our website. Just got to tell you, I was talking to someone this morning who said, how do I find out about the things you've been writing and all the stuff you got going on? Well, rightsideradio.org. It's also got links to all of our social media. We're out there on, you know, all the usuals. I'm on Twitter more often than anything. Just waiting for Elon Musk to buy Twitter. But, yeah, I'm on Twitter. The Right Side, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Anyway, check it all out, rightsideradio.org. All right, coming up next, the first piece of the Triple Dipper, election machinations. So literally, folks, we are in the red zone right now. It is first and 10. I'd go ahead and say first and goal. We are down to it. We are literally looking at the possibility of Republicans taking back the House and the Senate. But there's a lot of considerations. There's other factors that are happening. Biden's out on the trail right now doing all he can to be the guy. You know, yesterday didn't work out well for him. And I will give CNN some credit. Right now on the big screen here in the studio, they actually have on there White House downplays the stock market tanking on Tuesday. Not only did they downplay it, that was the day that Biden was taking a victory lap on the White House lawn. He had an audience, and he was celebrating how great the economy's doing. We're rebounding because of our Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, the unemployment numbers came back bad, and the market reacted horribly, dropped 1,200 points, if I'm not mistaken. And folks are saying, yeah, that recession thing is not lifting. another story brewing right now, which was just up a minute ago on the Fox screen here in the studio, which I've got a written piece about that I'll go through in a minute, is that we have a potential right now for a railroad strike. A railroad strike? Yeah. And Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, just texted or tweeted out a little while ago. He says, the rail worker strike is a problem that President Biden and Democrats tried to fix and failed. The impact of this strike will be far-reaching. But let's wait and see how the left blames it on Republicans. Spot on, Coach. But then he was also retweeting a quote from somebody who said, just in, Amtrak is canceling all long-distance trains starting tomorrow, fearing the impacts of a looming rail worker strike. They're saying this could impact upwards of 30% of the transportation sector. That's a supply chain issue. That's a cost of goods getting to market issue. That's an inability of people to commute to work issue. This is big doings. And we are in the red zone for elections, so don't think that won't be in the minds of voters. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Election Machinations, coming up next. Be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. And as always, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're in number one of the triple dipper. I'm calling it election machinations. What are the things that are driving the elections? I mean, we're literally, I said a while ago, in the red zone. Well, let's see. Today is what? September the 14th. Elections are what? Boomer, elections November 10th. Am I right in saying that? First week, roughly. Yeah. He's going to check the actual date because I have November 7th stuck in my head. I know it's not right. But what do you got? Election day. Eighth? Okay, thereabouts. I knew it was somewhere around there. But the reality is this. You are close. You are literally about 6 weeks-ish away from the midterm elections. Now, we are 6 weeks away from the midterms. We are a little over 24 months away from the next presidential. Think about it. You remember when Biden got elected? Allegedly, when he got elected? Well, that much time is left before he has to get reelected or out. That's cool. But that means what feels like has already flown by, at the same time, only that much time is left before his reelection. We're gonna see the actual presidential campaign really kick off probably in the next 6 months as people start getting really engaged and laying out their political, you know, plans and doing whatever. Election machinations over. Right now, what is driving the train? Well, speaking of trains, I didn't mean to do that, but that was cool.
That was pretty good.
I like that. All right, yeah. Speaking of trains, pun intended, I guess, sort of, redstate.com has an article dated yesterday. Headline, the looming crisis that could cost the country and sink Dems' chances in midterms. That's a heck of a headline. But Red State has this article that says, earlier there was a report about inflation numbers and the news was not good for the American consumer. See, that did happen. By the way, a minute ago, it was amazing to me to watch President Biden was doing another victory lap about how much money they're going to spend on the green energy sector in Detroit. And go union, go union, go union. And yet right now, we have a major union issue that could shut down a part of the economy. So it says, even though the numbers came out badly, it says a report that came out has many economists concerned. Stock futures took a tumble on Tuesday morning at the news as the markets reacted to the new consumer price index data. Economists had predicted a lower inflation rate for August, and the 8.3% finding sent futures tied to the S&P 500 down, which, you know, while, you know, contracts tied to the tech-oriented NASDAQ fell another 1.9. But here's the deal. They say Unfortunately, there's another problem coming. There's a potential railroad strike that could hit as early as this Friday. And if it does, it could cost the country, some studies say, upwards of $2 billion a day and throw transportations of goods and people into a total mess. And Biden, it says, is trying to head it off. He knows if it hits, it's going to be toast for the Democrats in the midterms because it's going to drive the economy further into the dumper. And Biden has been making calls. His team's been holding meetings with union heads, but it hasn't worked so far. The freight industry has warned, says this article, that the strike would shut down 30% of the country's freight and halt most passenger and commuter rail services. Now, listen, when I was at the Pentagon, I saw firsthand how in some major metropolitan areas, commuter trains are the reason why people can get to work, period. Boomer, you and I were talking off the air, and you mentioned that in some areas, folks don't even bother owning a car because they have mass transit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if your mass transit goes away, then what do you do? Call a cab, call an Uber, get to work?
Yeah, well, or you can't go, and then the worker, I mean, then those companies are out of...
That's exactly right. Everything takes a hit.
Yeah.
So the Federal Railroad Administration, as part of the transportation department, hey, where's Pete Buttigieg on this? I have not heard anything about Buttigieg working on this issue because the Railroad Administration is a part of his transportation department. But they've estimated the failure to reach an agreement could cost the economy as much as $2 billion per day in lost economic output. They're using terms like economic disaster, catastrophic economic impacts. Anyway, bad news, cats and dogs living together, all of that. But that to say, here's the amazing thing. We've got a situation right now, in my opinion, the unions feel emboldened by a president who is not just union friendly, he's union pandering. Just a minute ago, literally, while we were on break, I looked up at the screen, and here we are. We've got a teacher strike finally getting resolved in Seattle. We've got a major nursing strike, 15,000 on the picket line in Minnesota, and we've got a threat of a major economic impact by a rail workers' strike that could come as early as this week, and yet Biden was in Michigan just now giving a speech to the auto workers, the UAW, and extolling the virtues of unionization while they're all holding up signs saying union now. The man's got no clue. He talked about my monologue a while ago, you know, conducting SILs. Stop, look, listen, smell, know your environment. Be able to read the room, please. And he can't seem to do it. What else is happening, though, in the world of election machinations? One thing that did come out that it's not necessarily about this midterm, but it also explains where we are on this midterm. Hotair.com does have an article that I just found egregious. So, you know, they talk about the grifters over at the Lincoln Project, all the never-Trumpers, the ones who allied with Democrats to take out anybody who deviates from their, you know, neocon line. The Republicans who get quoted as hating on conservatives in mainstream media, they all spend eternity just literally going after anything that says Trump and trying to bash anything that doesn't fit their idea. It's folks like Bill Kristol and others. Well, in a new book that was being reviewed by Politico, there was a tidbit that this author picked up. A guy named David Strom for hotair.com wrote this piece yesterday. It says, in the course of reading through the book, there's an entire piece where it says, at a time that Joe Biden was testing the water to see if he should run for president, that Mitt Romney was urging him to run. Urging him to run. He goes on to point out, I get it when you're frustrated within the primaries, you know, you have differences in who should be your primary candidate, but to go to the opposite party and try to undo everything that your party stands for by asking the opposition party to send a candidate like Joe Biden, that's awful. All right, election machinations, though. What's happening? So right now, the intent is that we take the House and the Senate. Absolutely, we want both. And literally, by the way, there's a vast difference. I say it all the time on the air. There's a vast difference between what is a conservative and being a Republican. You can be a squishy Republican and not be a conservative. But I will have to point out that last article I talked about, the one that talks about Mitt Romney, the guy, he did say this. He said he would take a liberal Republican over a leftist Democrat any day. And I get it. I get it. But here's the deal. We're not going to see any real change in D.C. unless we get the House and the Senate. Now, I am assuming, by the way, they will have a plan, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. But right now, the goal is take the House and the Senate. The House appears to be assured for the most part. Like, going to be really hard to not take back the House. The Senate is being called a neck-and-neck race. I don't think it's as close as they're trying to paint it. But nonetheless, we're gonna see. The Federalist, September 13th, yesterday, wrote a piece about the Arizona Senate race. If you're not familiar, what's going on out there with Democrat Senator incumbent Mark Kelly? He's got a very tight race, apparently, with a guy named Blake Masters, a Republican. Well, all of a sudden, McConnell's super PAC has pulled all their support. They're not supporting Blake Masters. Why? Well, they pulled an $8 million ad buy. $8 million ad buy in the red zone right before the election. They pulled an $8 million ad buy in support of Senate candidate for the Republicans, Blake Masters, because they say the polls show him 3 points down. And they've moved all that funding over to J.D. Vance, the Republican in Ohio, because they show him neck and neck or up by two. Well, I get it, but you know what? Pulling out completely, that's a hard pill to swallow. Another PAC called Heritage Action decided they couldn't stand by and watch that happen. So Heritage Action, which is aligned with the Heritage Foundation, decided to send their Sentinel Action Fund into movement here, and they put a $5 million ad buy back in place for Masters. That's happening in Arizona. That race is neck and neck. Then there's a thing about Pennsylvania. Have you seen the guy, Boomer, have you seen the guy running for Senate, Fetterman, up there in Pennsylvania?
Fetterman.
The big guy that looks like just looks like he wandered in off the street. He always wears a hoodie,
yes.
Sweatshirt.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm. Had a stroke, which, I mean, I just feel bad for him. He had a stroke just, 2 months ago. First, his campaign wouldn't admit that he was in the hospital. Then his campaign wouldn't admit that he had to have some major follow-up. He now has a pacemaker with a defibrillator installed. His speech is slurred. He can't process quickly. He's refusing to do campaign debates.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also this weird thing about, why does he always wear the hoodie? Is that his shtick? Well, he's a big union guy. He's trying to be the man on the street kind of guy. Except the other day he wasn't wearing the hoodie, and he has a large lump on the back of his neck. This summer saying is a clear indication he has a growth that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And he won't talk about it. He won't give his head. Well, so here's an interesting thing. As much as I fuss about the mainstream media and the liberal media, Washington Post being one of those that I would fuss about on a regular basis. Regular. Well, Washington Post, got to give them some props here. They just called out Fetterman, the Democrat. Hotair.com reports, as of yesterday, Washington Post calls for Fetterman to release his medical records and to debate his opponent, Dr. Oz. And this starts off by saying, what's happened to WAPO? Is it acting like a real newspaper? It says the editorial board of the Washington Post calls for John Fetterman to agree to debate Dr. Oz not once but twice and to release his medical records for independent review. They go on and point out, there's got to be transparency. There's got to be. You're asking people to give you a 6-year term to serve them as a senator. And since returning to the campaign trail after his stroke, it says Mr. Fetterman has been halting in his performances. He stammers. He appears confused. He keeps his remarks short. He has held no news conferences. Mr. Fetterman acknowledges his own difficulties with auditory processing, making it hard for him to respond quickly to what he's hearing. He's in speech therapy. And they go on to say, we wish him well, but the lingering unanswered questions about his health, underscored by his hesitation to debate, are very unsettling. And so the Washington Post is saying, look, dude, you can't do this to us. Washington Post is very liberal, but they're saying you can't be that guy. If you're going to be in the race, you got to tell us what your records are. Well, we're going to talk about how the Pennsylvania voters feel about things in general when we get back. And then also, I've got to point out, there's confirmation that my statements recently about the fact that we don't have a plan is very disconcerting. Well, it's starting to play out. GOP mega donor billionaire saying, where is the plan? What am I supporting? We'll talk about that when we get back. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We will do that right now. Texts are coming in. I better check those out while we're in the break and see what I can get on the air with. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Election machinations. Keep your eyes on the prize because we are in the red zone. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Text line. Brian from Huntsville texted in that with all that discussion about the train strike, we ought to play Blackfoot train. That'd be a good bump, man.
That would be a good one. All right.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep. Donna from Coleman texted in. Said that she's tired of all the infighting in the Republican Party. She plans to vote for Libertarian and Independent candidates. She said Libertarian, I'm sorry. We do actually have a Libertarian running for U.S. Senate in Alabama, John Sophocleous. So, all right, Donna, thanks. Paul from Athens talking about the guy Fetterman up in Pennsylvania. Paul texts in and says, it's just another the WAPO article is another Democrat riding his back. Says, I feel sorry for the guy, but he needs to step away. And I totally agree. Lynn from Knoxville. Lynn from Knoxville. She asked the question. She says, how is Fetterman's condition any different than Biden? Good point, Lynn.
Very good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, listen, back on my stack of stuff, which I probably won't get through all of it because we're going to start an interview with State Senator Del Marsh at the top of the hour. But there's a number of things out there. So the political winds right now, here we are in the throes, right? We're in the red zone. We're down to the last 6 weeks-ish before the midterm elections. Everybody is looking to see, is the power base going to shift in D.C.? And truthfully, even if all we get is just the House, we can put a stop to some of the madness. But without the House and the Senate, we can't get action done. And then we still have to have it signed by the president, which I get. But then he has to acknowledge us and work with us or sit there for 2 years wishing that he had a different House and Senate, which he won't get. Okay, all that to say, what do the voters think? Article in Fox News dated today that up in Pennsylvania, where that whole Dr. Oz and Fetterman race is going on, the title of it is Pennsylvania Voters Reveal What Will Tip the State Red or Blue. Well, it's a weird article. It just basically gives a mixed bag of sentiments. For Republicans, it's the economy. For Democrats, it's the economy, but they also care about abortion. So I don't know this article really tells me anything. But what I do know is that we're not seeing a cohesive messaging from the Republican side. It's you got to do more than just be against Biden. I mean, well, I'll be honest with you though, the Democrats ran on being against Trump, but still, you got to do more than just be against Biden. I'm more than just I want more than woke. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, first of all, the House Republicans do actually have an agenda. It's a bit vague. I'm looking for the details to roll out. They're supposed to roll it out on the 19th. It just turns out Fox News reported as of last night. They had to delay that to the 23rd because the 19th is the day of Queen Elizabeth's, you know, funeral, and they don't want to be swamped in the news cycle, so they're going to wait a few days afterwards and release their agenda. So there's that. But I did roll out what we know of it the other day. Story from the Daily Signal that came out last week. That for the midterms, it says House Republicans have a four-part commitment to America. That's the name of their plan, Commitment to America. Very vague for the most part. We have bullet points. Here's the 4 points that the major things are. They want an economy that's strong. Okay. They want a nation that's safe. They want a future that's free. And what's the last one? A government that's accountable. And they have bullet points within that. Some of those are so vague, you look at them and go, we're going to secure our border. What does that mean? Please tell me what that means. What are you going to do? Don't just give me platitudes. We're tired of platitudes. We want to see what you're going to do, like label it. Be so specific that if you don't do it, we'll know. Well, it's gotten to the point now, and see, that's the House, by the way. In the Senate, McConnell is literally declining to release a plan. Like he doesn't want to. Why? Because he'll be bound to it. That's why. Story here on Fox also that came out on Sunday, September 11th. GOP mega donor Peter Thiel hits Republicans for lacking a positive message ahead of the midterms. Now, this is what, I hate to say it, but money drives elections. I don't mean like bribery. I'm talking about you got to pay for the advertising. You got to pay for the mail outs. You got to pay for the signage. You got to, whatever. GOP mega donor Peter Thiel hits Republicans for lacking a positive message ahead of midterms. GOP mega donor and technology billionaire Peter Thiel criticized Republicans on Sunday for failing to enunciate a clear-cut message on what they were in favor of ahead of November's pivotal midterms. He is a huge donor to Republican campaigns, like tens of millions of dollars at a whack to PACs that support Republican causes. Thiel told an audience at the National Conservatism Conference that Republicans are focusing too much in this cycle on just opposing progressive policies without offering any alternatives. They're in opposition, but they don't have a plan. He said the temptation is always going to be that we want to say, we're not California, but that's so easy, it's ridiculous, he says. We got to have a positive agenda. We got to get beyond just saying we're against woke stuff and tell everybody what we're going to do. All right, folks, we are in the red zone. So keep your eyes on the prize, all right? Hey, listen, we're up next with an interview with State Senator Del Marsh. It's super interesting. I was in a part of it in the stuff that we talk about, and we talk about education choice on top of that. Stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.